dropped it off. I don't think we're going to run it now, but I actually brought it in because I thought what he said was so powerful. His commitment, his radicalism, his statement, his attitude towards it was just so very powerful. I don't know if you heard any of this incredible speaker. And no compromise. No compromise.
An African will even tell you, work for my people.
Thank you, Carl.
What do they do for me? They ain't never did nothing for me. Do they pay my bills? I'm out there for me and me alone. Don't nobody help me and I don't need them.
America's a backward country. Well, if it makes you stupid, it makes you arrogant in your stupidity.
Here it is, seeming, or is this backward? All of us sitting here knows that an individual human being isolated from the human species is totally incapable of making any contribution to life. These are biological facts. If you take a kitten the minute it's born before it opens its eyes, you take a dog, a puppy before it's born, before it opens its eyes when it's born, if you throw both of them in the woods isolated by themselves, they will grow to their fullest animal potential. The dog will walk on all four, he will bark, as soon as he finds a bone, he will love it. The cat will meow, the cat will chase mice as soon as he finds them. But if you take a child, a human being, the minute he or she is born, without opening their eyes, and put them in their woods, isolated by themselves, if they live, they will never arrive at their fullest human potential. It is questioned whether or not the child will walk. Certainly the child will not talk. And it is clear the child will be able to make no contribution to the society. We push the argument one point further. Again, sticking clearly within the clay of the logics of the statement. We continue to say that a human being isolated from the human species is more stupid than any other animal isolated from its species. Take the same kitten. Take the same puppy. Take the same child, as soon as they're born, without their eyes open, throw them to live with monkeys. The dog will walk like a dog, bark like a dog, and love bones. The cat will meow like a cat, walk like a cat, and love mice. The child will walk like a monkey, talk like a monkey, eat monkey food, and try to make a contribution to monkey culture. The statement then is clear. Crystal clear. So that we can smash quickly all of these nonsensical ideas of individuality. The individual is dependent upon the masses of the people for everything. Consequently, the individual must subsume themselves to the desires, the struggles, and the aspirations of the masses of the people. This is clear. For the Africans, it is even more clear. We say without the slightest hesitation, any African who rises above the masses of his people have only done so by stepping upon their heads.
Matter of fact, any man trying to pull himself up above the people is a stupid man. It's only when the people rise that you can rise.
It's only when the people rise that you can rise.
You know, it's interesting about that. Perhaps not interesting, but that's actually not a very good recording, but I literally recorded that off WBAI's air. Thank you, WBAI, for broadcasting that. But you know what? If there was an 800 number behind that, and people could have got that tape, I could have bought that tape. Thousands of people could buy that tape, but I guess it's being saved for a marathon, and you'll have to pay $150 for it instead of $9, as it should be made 365 days a year to the public. Distribute the information. Let it out. Let it out. Don't hold it back, baby. Let it out, Pacifica. Let the information out.
Gagrel.
You're on the radio.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Hi, Tanya.
Hey, Patty.
It's Patty.
Yay! Fabulous show.
It's Patty at Inch.com. How you doing? All right.
Good.
So, Patty, you've been causing a lot of trouble. What's up?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of trouble to cause, too, right now. You know, this whole crazy Pacifica business. Now, here's a twist for all you conspiracy theorists out here now. I got one for you right now. This whole Pacifica, see, the problem is they seem to be, the problem seems to be that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is a government agency, they, you know, say that the board is out of compliance or something. So rather than go towards the people, towards voting people onto the board that are the listeners or a producer or someone that cares, they're going to, like, go vote in their own buddies, you know, their own buddy systems, these liberal, professional lefties
in the,
or whatever.
Isn't the PBS, isn't that station that has all those car commercials on it?
No, not PBS.
Oh.
CPB.
Oh, oh.
The CPB is the... well, why don't you explain that for people? What's the corporation... Andrew, you worked with all this. What is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting?
What's boring. That's what it is. It's boring. It creates... look, Pacifica, if it was growing up...
It's government funding for radio.
Forget about it. We say we shouldn't put our hands out for the government. We should go to the people, and if we did it the right way, the people would support us, and we'd have plenty of money, and we wouldn't have to be in this Wall Street thing. I mean, it's like, it's very, I don't know, it's very, very confusing. Corporation for Public Broadcasting gets some money from the government, and they distribute a small amount of it to some community radio stations that qualify. I'm not sure what the qualifications are now. But.
Well,
they're complicated. You have to go through now a whole, you know, under the thing is you have to prove you have a minimum audience. You have to prove you have an audience that is a specific character of an audience.
It's all this sort of
and they have a whole complicated
societal engineering
mathematical kind of, program
that's right.
in order to get the money. And it's funny because the conservatives, when they were in power, they were always trying to cut CPB, but now the liberals are in power, they're just using it to try and control institutions, which is interesting.
The liberals are gray, and there's only black and white. You are either for the people or you are not for the people.
Now, Ms. Joan Marie Moosey is pretty outspoken as well on this issue of government money for funding the arts, for example.
Well, I worked with Ethel Eichelberger, who is my mentor. I did a lot of plays with him, and he never...
The playwright, the wonderful playwright.
He wrote 31 plays. He died in 1990. He always told us, don't ever take any government money. He never took a grant. He supported his career with an acting career. He was a very well-known American actor in straight American theater, and he spent every penny he made to produce his own avant-garde works. And he never applied for a grant, and he advised all of us never to, because if you take money from the government, they're going to tell you what to do.
That's true.
They always do, man.
They will change
That's
your
true.
Art by determining what's acceptable.
And the amount of time
acceptable.
You spend, Gary knows this, Gary did.
They've
know.
Got, first of all, I think by the grant system, they promote an arts bureaucracy rather than artists.
That's right.
Because I've noticed, like, Brooklyn Arts Council, for example, their whole program was they would make you apply for the grant, turn in tons of paperwork, give you like a third of the money that you needed to do your project, make you do the project anyways, and then make you do more paperwork so that, and compared with other grants institutions, it's very similar. What they want to do is create a system of arts bureaucrats rather than actually support artists, which none of these people actually seem to be interested
in
doing.
Well, it's two different things to be good at filling out forms and to be good at making art.
Totally. I know. We have to work on actually getting people who can fill out forms well here at BAI. We have that
Isn't
problem.
You don't have any time to make art.
Well, you know, Patty, let's talk about what we can do. What's the positive side of this? How can democratize? How can we democratize Pacifica, in your opinion? Because the fact that you're putting so much time into it means, you know, as critical as you are, you're putting so much time into this means that
there must be a solution.
You feel there's a solution and an answer. What do you
hope.
Think? There's hope.
Shortwave. Shortwave's the answer.
Right
no,
on.
I say,
yeah.
I want to say something
radio.
About that in a second, but I want to say two things about this, and then I want to tell you about shortwave, okay? But the thing I want to say about the conspiracy part of this whole business, before I get to what people can do, is this guy... Robert Coonrod, who is now the head of the CPB, was former head of the Voice of America and TV Radio Marti, and he has demanded that Pacifica's board oust all the independent elements that might be likely to protest Pacifica's conversion to a mainstream corporate entity.
Now, Radio Marti broadcasts to propaganda, anti-Castro propaganda to Cuba.
Anti-Castro to Cuba, using Marti's name in vain like that. That's disgusting. But that's exactly what the government's doing. And this Coonrod guy, he's not just like some, you know, schlub that got the position. He's been in, like, they think sort of security and all this kind of stuff his whole life. So, you know, it makes...
He's got security clearance.
Yeah, I bet he does.
They're all waiting for my security clearance all year. Wait a second, I put...
Top secret
and anyway,
security.
And they're all in cahoots now, see? So this is a problem. Now, what you can do, what the people can do, is they could, if anyone wants to, you know, for a dollar, you could make these couple phone calls and, like, just tell these people. You got your Mary Frances Berry, who's the University of Pennsylvania. She's a bigwig. She's, you know, she's, like, cool, you know, supposedly. She's the new chair of the Pacifica Board. And you can call her, and you can tell her that you want community radio given back to the people. And if everyone gets their pencils, they got their pencil, I'm sure. The number is 202-337-0382. And if you wanted to email her, of course, MF Berry. I like that. MF Berry. Mary Frances Berry.
Berry, right?
Right. At sas.upenn.edu. And you can write her. And then we got this Frank Milfaw. He's a national board member and also a local board member who's been expired for 2 years, and he believes that he represents Pacifica to WBAI and the listeners, not the other way around. And he should be gone. And he has a phone number, and you should call him up, too. He has a phone number. It's 741-0839. And tell him that he should leave room for the next guy that believes in what we're talking about. And for anybody that wants more information, they should just call Save Our Station, which has been working their butts off for 3 years on this thing. And it's 465-7562.
What's the area code?
212. 465-7562. And if you want to help or you want information, you just call up, leave a message, and we'll be happy to help you. Hey. And that's the case.
Hey, Patty.
Patty, share some of that shortwave.
Okay, yeah, hell with all this
business. Share some of that.
Shortwave
get going
is
on
the answer, you know? Shortwave has no gag rule. We got fabulous WBCQ The Planet. It's a radio station that started last September by the old guys from the Radio New York International, which was a pirate station on a ship off the coast of New York about 10 years ago, and the FCC and the Coast Guard went and took it away. And since then, the ship was blown up in a movie in Boston Harbor.
We've had Alan and Randy on the air here last year when their book came out.
Yes.
When Alan's book, what's Alan's last
name? Access to the Airways, I think. Alan Weiner.
Alan Weiner, right.
Yeah. Alan Weiner and Randy Steele, fabulous radio people. These are real radio people, real pirate people.
Patty, wasn't Randy involved with the original WBAI shutdown in 1977?
Yes, she had official recordings of the 1977.
We played it on this air.
Actual recordings. No,
yes.
Randy's old-time radio, and it's a great, great station, especially Sunday night. It's as radical political as you're going to get. And
what's
the
frequency?
Why?
What's the frequency for the planet?
7415 kilohertz.
7415 kilohertz.
Yeah, and that's the old pirate frequency, but now it's an actual license by the FCC, broadcast at 50,000 watts.
When's your show on, Patty?
I have a show. My show is called Rogue Finch Radio.
Rogue what?
Rogue Finch. The Rogue Finch. The little Rogue Finch. The little bird, you know? The little
bird
that
goes
out and gets in trouble, you know?
The Rogue Finch.
Okay, Patty.
And
Patty,
what?
So what do you think? What's your solution to this stale environment down here? I'm coming down in 120 where I once got kicked off the sidewalk. It's really kind of stale.
Shortwave.
Everybody's kind of disappointed.
Shortwave is the answer.
Huh? Patty, what time is your show?
But you still got to get an FCC license on shortwave. Is that the deal?
Right.
Well, you have to have a license on shortwave. But there's all kinds. You have good company there. You got Radio Havana. You got Deutsche Welle. You got BBC. People should go out. Get themselves a shortwave radio. Yeah. You can get one that'll pick up anything for $100.
When's your show on?
My show is on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
Oh, good time slot, huh?
And there was last week where I left the party and I went to be on a radio program that's on in the evening. From
Joni's birthday party in my house.
Joni's birthday party, and from 8 to midnight, I was on. It was called Radio New York International with our buddy Johnny Lightning, and we took listener phone calls. And in this four-hour period, we got phone calls from listeners from upstate New York, Florida, Texas, North Carolina, Chicago, St. Louis, Colorado, and Los Angeles. Yeah. This broadcasts the complete United States. And they get calls from Russia and New Zealand and Australia at times, too. Yes, Andrew, Australia, too. Down under.
Okay. Time to
kangaroo dance.
All right,
Patty.
All right, Patty. Thanks. We have so many calls. We're going to move on. We have so many calls.
Okay,
hey, thank you.
Great stuff.
And thanks
for
all your work.
Paul, I think this may be helpful for some of the audience that perhaps don't know how the Pacifica board works and where I see to be the central power structure and the, and the through line of power in the system.
Teach me.
Well, it's pretty simple.
I've been here for 10 years. I still haven't figured it out.
Well, you know, there's a tremendous communication gap between, one, the producers. There's a communication gap between the producers and the station manager at each of the stations. These are generalizations, but generally this is true. There's certainly a communication gap between the local boards, the local so-called advisory boards, and the producers and the managers to a large extent, because when was the last time that you met a board member or saw? Do you know, have you ever met Frank Milksparrow in your life?
I wouldn't know him if I saw him.
Well, there you go. Frank Milksparrow is an old manager of WBA. And here we have a classic case of careerism, someone who was in the system, who left WBAI, became essentially a fundraiser and a kind of a consultant in the fundraising industry. He needs to be sort of around and have the cachet, if one could call it that, of being involved with a place like WBAI.
He doesn't have his job at Film and Video Arts anymore, so I guess he's got to do something.
That's
to
right.
Pretend like he's somebody.
There are these kind of people. So now what we've got now is local boards at five stations, and the local board's supposed to send two representatives to the national board. But we're sending representatives, in this case, like Frank Milspar. Now, Frank actually doesn't know very much about what's going on at WBAI. The only time Frank Milspar would ever hear about that is from Valerie Van Isler at a board meeting. Now, Valerie Van Isler, of course, is going to give a very tainted point of view to Frank, because she doesn't actually represent the producers. She represents management. Her job is given to her by the executive director of Pacifica. In fact, not by the local board. The imprimatur for her job comes from the national board. She represents the national office. She actually doesn't represent WBAI. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. The power is coming through her to the station. It's not actually going back the other way. That's an important thing to understand. Valerie and the other five station managers all attend national board meetings, but they don't have voting power, and they're really there employed by the executive director. That's who holds the power here. The executive director gets the reports from the station managers as to what's going on at the stations. The executive director then reports back to the national board. The national boards don't know what's going on at each of the stations. They're entirely separated from one another. They don't. The national board member from KPFA in Los Angeles, or from Berkeley, or from Houston, Texas, or Washington, they don't come to BAI. There's no cross-cultural kind of engagement here. So, in other words, there's a big communication problem here. And the only person who actually knows what's allegedly going on at all of the stations, and they actually don't, but they appear to in terms of the national board, is the executive director. They're getting the information from the stations through the station managers.
And now there's also this huge gap between the West Coast and the East Coast.
And there's that gap. So what we've got is a huge
cultural gap. Talk to the people out there, and they don't know. They think we're out of our minds.
It's a classic case of extreme centrism, where we have this very, very centralized system, which in fact could be quite the opposite, enormously viable. If you think of the Pacifica Foundation as being a big wheel, and of course at the axle is the center, that's where the national office is, but on that perimeter we have this huge number, literally hundreds, probably thousands of producers gathered out here, and amongst them very talented people, most of whom we never hear on the air nationally. We only hear the kinds of people on the air nationally that Pacifica Central want to put in the air, and the people at Pacifica Central, in fact, are not radio broadcasters.
And how did
they're
I get on the air? I don't even know these people.
Well,
I never met any of them.
You never met them, but you're the person. It's people like you, not so much like you, because you're on a late night show. But the money for this system, of course, comes from these volunteer producers. The money for this system comes from these volunteer producers. So we have a big communication problem. We have a very centralized system, and there really is no solution to that. I mean, the public can shout and yell and scream as much as they like, unfortunately, but really, for many years you haven't been able to express many of these ideas at board meetings, and right up until this day the public is given very little time to express ideas. Most producers have never been to a national board meeting or a local one. They don't really know much about it.
That's the goal, isn't it? Go out and total is to professionalize, to make the air sound less amateurish, less like Lou Hill sort of wanted it to be, which was sort of like
all of this is true.
To move away
in a sense,
from
all of that's irrelevant. All of that's because in fact the power structure which is in place, I mean, they actually don't know anything about radio. Most of them have never been broadcasters in their lives. They've never been on the air. They don't raise the money. They get the money from
like
the people who raise
it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and they're trying to create programs.
Right.
So we got a problem.
It goes all the way down to the show. I mean, you know, some shows you turn on and it sounds real stale. You know, I got no feel.
Oh, that's the trickle down. I'm sorry. It's barely getting
down.
Here.
But really, the feeling came down, and I felt, you know, there wasn't anything. There wasn't anything live in that room. You felt it coming right through the airwaves. It's Andrew's the sound guy. You know, you can reposition or you could have this and that affect sound. But when you hear it coming through, even in your own home, you can tell that there wasn't anything going on in the studio.
No production values. For, well,
no
part
juice.
Of it.
It wasn't that.
No
amateur,
heart. No life. No juice.
There's no
production values. Don't matter, man. No juice.
That's right, no juice.
There's no money, and therefore there's no. Utrice has complained to me directly on several occasions that she has this important strip program 5 days a week and she doesn't have a director or a producer.
In my opinion, Utrice should be national. I mean, Utrice
the
is
engineer,
head and shoulders above Larry Benson.
Her producer is the engineer.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I mean, and she comes in and
Bernstein should be on the air. He should be national. Utrice should be national. No doubt there
like
are producers at other
Three.
Stations. If
Rocky
you're Three. Talking national.
Yeah. I had a tiger, man. Rocky Three. You know?
Well, how come Larry Bensky? How come
gotta
Larry?
Get it back.
Larry Bensky is gets 2 hours. Is going to be getting 2 hours
Survival.
A week on WBAI.
Hell no, who knows?
And Dennis Bernstein is not.
Well, that's stupid. I don't know. That's ridiculous.
Why
isn't
Dennis Bernstein going to be
now?
I want to know because Dennis brought me into radio. He taught me radio together with
Dennis.
Take
you.
Back
you
BAI.
Dennis
you know?
Bernstein's getting yet another award from Project Censored. I don't know how many of those Larry ever got in his life. Larry should be a commentator. He should be on once or twice a week. The same
well,
as Hess should be on once or twice a week. Come on, are these the only people at Pacifica
you know,
can find to talk about, to comment, to give us some intelligent, informed... I mean, there is such a lack of imagination in this system, it's incredible.
Now, these are the opinions of a former program director, Andrew Phillips,
that's
at WBAI.
True.
These are not necessarily my opinions. Not to say I'm not sympathetic with them, but this is coming from an important place.
John Hess, the only voice in WBAI's news that should be the commentator.
He knows too much.
Is that true?
We got a lot of calls. Thanks, Patty.
Bye, Patty.
We got so many calls. They're just coming in like crazy. You're on the radio.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, they must have gone to get a cigarette.
We're going to give you one more chance now. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Praises due to Allah.
Oh, hey, it's
Monty.
Now, listen to this here.
Okay.
Have y'all...
We said Radio Marty, by the way, not Radio Monty before.
All right, so don't get upset.
No, it's Monty.
Yeah.
M-O-N-T-Y. Better known as The Rock. But now, listen to this, getting on a serious note.
Right.
Have y'all ever noticed how the powers to be might be saying, dig this. Let's get rid of WBAI. How can we do it? Let's put some people in charge that don't know what the hell they're doing. This way, the people that really listen to the station become very disgusted.
Oh.
That's it.
No doubt.
There you go.
You understand? And then they could say, well, it wasn't our fault. Y'all just didn't have good programming. But then...
Can I balance something though? You know, as far as the conspiratorial look at it, the flip side of that, and I as an activist for most of my life, I can say that we are quite capable without any infiltrators, provocateurs, to screw ourselves royally.
Yeah, but they sure help.
Yeah.
Encouragement.
That's just like the African. You understand? The white boy don't have to screw us. We constantly screw ourselves by having quizzlings and nondescripts all around us, squealing and trying to put stuff in the game to keep us down. So I can understand that, but then we got to weed the creeps out. And if anyone is not for the full program, we get rid of them. And regardless of, well, I feel this is the best way. A, it's for the whole. I'll give you a good example. Monty said we're supposed to wear white armbands. Everybody said no, black. You know what Monty said? Okay, as long as it's unity.
Solidarity.
Thank you very much, Monty.
Solidarity forever. ever. The union makes us strong. Hey,
United Electrical Workers, Local 404.
No, the people, man.
That too.
You're on the radio.
Hello?
Monty's an asshole.
Aww. Well, that's
agree
ugly.
With that.
He said, well,
you're on the radio.
Said so many things. Hello?
Hi. This show is really good. It's right. Fantastic. It's good to hear Andrew on the radio.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If you give Andrew
another
show.
I was a big fan of Investigations as well. And
Investigations.
I wasn't going to call, but then he said something about the way they make those tapes accessible. One of the best things I've ever done was when you all were leaving 35th Street, going down to Wall Street, was those two or three times when you were selling the old tapes of old premiums. And I came down there, and I think maybe I got maybe 100 to 150 of these tapes.
Wow.
Oh, right on.
And it was incredible. And what you just said.
That's right.
You know, you all have a library of just incredible things that people should know about.
How much do you think that's? Let's talk profit here. How much do you think that's worth?
Yeah.
How much
Alexandria.
Do you think that's worth? How much do you think WBAI could make?
You were as program director. Why is it that we take the route of the getting a relatively smaller number of people to pay more for premium rather than the more
making
mass democratic, making it cheap,
more accessible to more people,
using the internet, et cetera,
because
et cetera.
We're an unimaginative organization, our manager, our program director. I mean, look, one of the reasons I left WBAI was to start something called Virtual Radio Network. I went broke doing it, but the idea is a good idea. I didn't have enough money to do it, and so it didn't make money, but the internet is here. I mean, hello. The internet is here. It's a international catalog.
You can list the catalog and people can just click on it.
Every day, the Pacifica's running a tape. Every book that Gary Noel hawks on his program from one of those people who speak on his program, his guests, they give out an 800 number. They sell the book. Why wouldn't WBAI be able to give out our 800 number and sell the book, take a piece of it? For everything we sell, everything that comes through, the service that we provide, we should be providing information, books, tapes, videos, and whatnot to the public at a cheaper rate, at less rate. If we were truly concerned, I mean, it's a beautiful life. If we're truly concerned about the community radio, that is certainly what we would be doing.
Not a capitalizer to make any more money. We got all this airtime for all these people saying stuff that's going on about. Besides this, this is a small world.
Well, we are getting all this airtime. I have to say,
so
as critical as we're being, we are here on this 50,000-watt station.
And we're here because we believe in it, and we want to put a bit of this fresh air out there, a bit of this fresh air. We don't need any more of this stale air. We want some fresh air.
Airtime is
one of the most crucial commodities the station has is its news. I mean, if every day, because then... VAI News right now, I hear things on there, and with particularly the local news, that I don't see anywhere at this point. I see
well, understaffed.
It nowhere.
It's, you know, this is, you know, I have my own rationale, you know, I have my own thing that's going down where, like, I'm trying to get back my old news job, you know, and it's a big fight to do that, and there's all these debates and arguments, and I'm looking, I just got a copy of my grievance in the mail, and I'm looking
well,
at it right
Paul
now.
Well, I don't want Paul, because Paul is a good news reporter, he's an aggressive news reporter, he makes waves, and unfortunately, like all bureaucracies, this entropic system, it's kind of, it doesn't like that. It likes to be smooth, and it's a problem.
Well, you know, I think there's a lot. What I think the problem is that the lack of resources that are going into the actual, and I've hit on this, the programming that goes on here. I mean, there's, you know, it's just unheard of that you would have important programs and important programmers who are given such prominence, and they have no staff, and they're not allowed to have a staff.
Well, it's because the system, because Pacifica
and
is
the,
not
and
a broadcast.
I mean, it's wonderful we run the news on 2.5 people, but 2.5 people
Pacifica,
ain't enough.
To understand, Pacifica is not, hear me, Pacifica is not a broadcast organization. It's a political organization. It doesn't really care or know very much about broadcasting. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here talking like this tonight.
Hey.
I mean, it's
It must be the rationale, because I've heard, you know, I've been beating my head on this around these issues for years now.
American radio, American media, period, is a war machine directed against the minds of the American populace to make them docile. And the things that are going on politically with WBAI is just a symptom of that. They figured out the weak point in the WBAI Pacific organization, and they've attacked that. Now, you're just going to be the last brick that's knocked out of place, you know? You're still hanging on here.
And in the meantime, you got to go from demonstration to demonstration.
Even
to
the wrecking
find out
ball
what's going
is
on.
Getting closer.
Even now.
Well, there's people. There's tons of people who are speaking
130,
constantly, you know? All day, all night. They could be on the. You could be at a constant. You know, you don't have to go. I have to work today. I could put it on at work. I could find out what's going on. I didn't have to listen to some. You know,
the fact is, I mean, the activists that I come in program. My community, I don't know, they don't listen to Pacifica much, the guys, do you? Do you listen to Pacifica much?
Me personally?
Just listen to people on the street.
No, I did for a while, but I never got my Mandela package.
More so, now we're really getting into dirty laundry here. Wait a second.
Hey!
Alan Markman, he's the guy to talk. No,
I got mad.
Yeah, they do good work here, and
that's true.
They do it on when you realize that the even though when errors happen and mistakes happen, they're doing it on a shoes. It's ridiculous. It's amazing that we keep this station going, and I think it's absolutely terrible that BAI doesn't get to enjoy more of the fruit that it produces. You know, it's
that's
unfortunate. You know,
I agree.
And maybe the problem is that, you know, we've kept BAI somewhat free of what has befallen the other four stations, and maybe the fact that BAI is the only one that's really incredibly well profitable, I think, you know, seriously profitable, and the other four stations are either lamely profitable or money losers, and we're supporting them all. Maybe they should listen to what we're doing a little bit instead of trying to force how they do things down us. I mean, then we'll wind up being a marginal station.
I think you're all martyrs right now. And, you know, the gag rule, you know what I'm saying? It's all or nothing. And,
Song. Well, first I'd like to give a big shout out to the Casa del Sol up there in the Bronx.
Yeah.
And also to the More Gardens Coalition.
Yeah.
We just came from a public hearing over there at Duane Street last week. And I think 100...
Reed Street.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Reed Street. One of
NY1 was down there with a cameraman.
That's very funny.
And I watched NY1 later on that evening, and all they had on was a spokesman from the Gardens and Parks Department saying that New York had so many gardens, so many parks.
So much green space and stuff, right?
And it's just, you know, and they didn't have anything about the hearing that had gone on. So they just put the spin on. They didn't put the news on. So realize when you're watching the news, you're watching the media, you're not even getting what's going on in the community. You're just getting some spin bullshit. You know, I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, man, you cursed on the air. Oh, what do we got here? Oh, baby, God, oh. Conflict and social injustice, I see it everywhere, and all I want to do is get out there and street about it. Yeah, that's what you have to do, motivate. And investigations and gateways of power controlling movements of what some call coincidence. Sound of my pen on the back of the official letterhead. God in the form of George Washington, washing up, washing off the hands that enslaved hands of others by creating distractions like, what do you call that, national syndicated radio. Hey, conflict and social disorder. From chaos is unification. Tune in a nation and destroy the boundaries. Let a new kingdom grow from foundations of love. All is one beneath the sun. Conflict and social injustice and the serpent wants you to repent as the rents get higher and higher, and I'm all fired up. And all right. Andrew Phillips, Radio, Citizen One Radio.
Citizen One, thank tomorrow you. Night.
Tomorrow night, yeah, down 25th Street between Broadway and 6th Avenue at the best in New York. And I can tell you the price on the air. It's free, 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 free.
Friday night, 137 Duane Street, the Tribe Theater.
That's right, with Featherless Biped.
Two nights from now.
All right, great.
That was all pretty big.
How's that?
We got a lot more calls.
A lot
ready
of
to take
calls.
More calls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring on the people.
Bring them in.
Let the people speak.
Let the people speak.
We're going to try and...
9 o'clock.
Since we only have 25 minutes, we want to keep the calls brief so we can get as many people in.
Yeah, because
we've
got a lot of people calling.
A lot of callers. Yeah, you're on the radio.
Hello?
Yes, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
God bless all of you.
All right.
You too.
God bless us.
First off, I would like to say that it's very interesting what you're talking about, because a lot of people don't know the intricate details of how that station works. And
we don't know. We've been here for decades.
Yeah, well, some of you have. But like one fellow, Andrew, he hasn't been at the station for a couple of years. But the point I'm trying to make is that I'm coming in tomorrow as a volunteer to work the phones for the pledges. And I'm a Vietnam disabled veteran. Right. And I don't have the money to buy the premiums. You know, they're just so expensive, $150. I wish they could lower the prices on the premiums. And it's good that you're talking about the station to bring some fresh air in on the station, because it's through that humbleness to be able to talk about it that y'all will be exalted, that whole station will be exalted. And I love WBAI. And I'll get off the air and let somebody else talk.
Thank you.
Oh, Andrew.
Yes, sir.
I live near you on St. Mark's Avenue, so I'm going to come over there one day on Underhill.
184.
Yeah, baby.
184 Underhill.
Right on, neighbor.
Yeah, on St. Mark's. I've been over there last summer. I walked over there and I saw your place. So I'm going to come over there.
You ever check out the Resistance Theater over there?
That's what I'm talking about. I went past there one day when it was just there, when it first ported there.
Beautiful.
So
hey, go to the tattoo shop, 186 Underhill. We're always hanging out there. It's a good spot.
Yeah.
Go get a great tattoo. DJ Wilson's the man.
Thanks. Okay, I'll see
you. Come swim in the vortex, baby.
Okay, God bless you.
All right, thanks for calling.
See that grassroots love that people have for Pacifica, for WBAI out there? It's something that we should be...
We love Pacifica. I love Pacifica.
I mean, WBAI.
The reason I'm sitting there today talking to you is because we met here, and I've had some of the best times here. Wonderful. Right. I love Pacifica.
We say the things we say out of love for this institution.
I don't like the board. I don't like the management. I can't
waste
stand
my
their
time
guts.
Saying these
I
things,
love
I didn't
Pacifica.
Love
That's why I'm here.
There'll probably be riot cops on the way out.
Waiting for
at least
they're
some
waiting.
Security guards.
You're on the radio.
Hello.
Hi.
Andrew, it's a good time to listen to your voice. You're a great producer there. I always wondered why they got rid of you or you got rid of them.
Well.
But you were a very good voice for everybody. Now, I want to talk a little about the mayor.
All right.
Yeah, I've been living since the 1930s. I had all the mayors on my head every once in a while. Now, we get an easygoing mayor like Dinkins. You get he had a Korean boycott that time. Then he had a Jewish pogrom. Then he had all different things. Now you got a hard-nosed mayor. I don't know which way to go. He's too hard-nosed. But what's his name? Michael Vien said he's a very good prosecutor. If you need a prosecutor, I guess he's all right. And he helped. But
he's a really good persecutor, too.
Yeah, right. I disagree with that, because my understanding is that he took on all these high-profile cases, like the Gotti case and stuff, and then lost them. And in the end, they only got Gotti because
they
got rid of Bruce Cutler and wouldn't let him use a lawyer of his choice.
Look, I'm no professional. Michael Vien is a professional man. He worked with him, and he knows what he can do and what he can't
do. Tommy's been in the FBI for 25 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the
DEA.
DEA.
The man should know what he's talking about.
How could I forget that?
So sometimes a lot of people feel safer, especially the older people and your mothers and fathers and grandma. They feel safer with a tough mayor who cuts down the crime and who takes care of he's a tough head. I know that.
He makes people feel. The people often 20 to 20. Hannah Arendt, I heard this yesterday, the great philosopher Hannah Arendt said that 20 to 25% of the population of any society wants a strong leader for the exact reasons you just said. They just feel safer like a strong leader. 20 to 25%
of
any society.
Safety.
And that's why you had. Stalin had a base of support. Hitler had a base of support. Well, Giuliani has a base of support.
Who are we being safe from anyway?
Save us from ourselves. Great leader.
Afraid of muggers, afraid of killers. We had muggers on every block here. What are you kidding? You lived through the last 15 years ago?
All right, but...
You couldn't walk out of the street, but you never know if you'd come back alive. And I remember those days. So to me, and to a million other people, Giuliani... it's done some good.
Right around the time that the crack import agency was at its best. So.
I know. I always say is why I don't necessarily feel that it's because I think that Giuliani is just the inheritor of a certain economic situation, just like Clinton.
Exactly.
You know, the fact is that the economy, still as rotten as it is a lot better than it was 10 years ago.
That helped him a lot, too.
It was a lot better 10 years ago. And I think
making
Clinton,
a profit.
That's because the war on drugs was
pot
working
is taking
so
over
well.
Some crack.
You know, and I think it's unfortunate because I think that if this was 10 years ago and Giuliani was mayor, I think there'd probably be war in the streets right now. You know, the thing is, he's got an economy going, and this tough guy routine, I don't know if it's going to work in a time when the economy's
bad. Well,
he
wants to run for another position, so you'll find out what he can.
Right, against Hillary Clinton, which is interesting. Two people who benefited from the economy.
Race, huh?
And then
I
the
don't feel safe out there.
Listen, I'm watching the NASDAQ. It's down another 65 points today. Thank you very much.
Silver-coated Three Musketeer. Be careful. Yeah. Be very careful.
You're on the radio. All those 401ks are going to go down the tubes. What's happening? You're on the air.
Paul, Marie, Joni, Andrew Phillips, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Everybody else, listen. This is I'm like the curmudgeon here. I feel terrible. What I'm about to say. I mean, curmudgeon. You listen. You pick it's like listen to this show. Let him talk. It's more like let him listen. But this is what I'm trying to say. I'll give an example. Carletta Joy Walker. Everybody knows who worked there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This is
the person. This is when she takes phone calls. This is what Let Them Talk really is about. Now. Andrew, all right, I'm not going to dwell on it. Time is now, Paul's saying we make calls extra short now. When you said something about arts programming and, you know, different way of doing radio, well, I think it's important to do that arts programming, but then to also have people come on and talk about the arts programming. So, in other words, not just the political talking heads thing, which is, you said has a place, right, but now also the call, if we have to use the phrase talking heads, or let's say listener feedback or, you know, community feedback to an arts programming. So it's not just like, cause what happens now is it's like an arts czar with Finch giving us what he thinks is politically correct art. See, and that's really like a tyranny thing.
Well, it's
a lot of his resources.
He doesn't have much time, you know. He has what?
But whatever he
arts is
whatever he has.
He's working. Most of the people here, I think most of the people here, literally a handful of people, less than the fingers on my hand, who deal with the day-to-day business of this place.
Yeah.
They might call him arts director, public affairs director, and all these things. They're sitting around having meetings about how they're going to run these damn marathons and take them, like, almost all the time between a marathon to figure out the next one.
That's true.
Right. They're trying to just keep the damn thing floating and don't have enough time to really do much about what they're really supposed to be doing.
Giuliani personally called Hunter College when they had on the front or in the cover Christ with a condom on, and Giuliani personally had the officials call. And they got time enough for that. That's one thing, and that's kind of like censorship. It's kind of funny censorship.
Well, that doesn't happen here.
All right, let me ask Andrew.
Yes, sir.
Is it talking heads? Does it characterize what talking heads is? I'm going to now respond to two things Paul said in the show that just happened.
Right.
You tell me if this is what is called talking heads. Regarding the last comment with, you know, that guy's a total, fixated freak, but... Let's just say he raised the issue of crime in the
Listen.
He raised the issue of crime in the bourgeois way, of which we all disagree, because we all on the left say, oh, you know, it's not about, you know, the street crime. The whole.
Well, I don't want to make the same mistake that was made by radicals in the 70s in not addressing these issues that are important to middle America. I mean, middle America is a lot of people, and I'm not against them or anything. I don't want to be, don't presume that I'm against their interests or feel that they should be victims of crime because of, how dare they raise themselves to the middle class. But, you know, I want people to understand why crime happens. Crime happens because of poverty, because of suffering, because of oppression.
But you show no sympathy. Instead
of dealing with the damn symptoms all the time, which is what every politician says to do, let's deal with the real reasons.
Okay, Paul, great. But you see, if you were honest...
You know why they don't deal with the real reasons? Because all the racists out there feel that... I'm going to tell you why. Half the people in America are racists who think that it has to do with genetics, and the politicians are voted in by these people. And they don't want to admit to us that what these politicians think is the real reason is crime is because people have low levels of intelligence or genetic problems or et cetera, et cetera. And that's what's really going on in Giuliani's mind. You know how I know that? Because Giuliani got a lot of his support from the Enterprise Institute, which is one of the groups, which is supported by a group that also supported the writing of that book, The Bell Curve.
I know.
Crime is just half-assed revolution.
Yeah. Right, Daddy.
You're on the radio.
Hello?
Good evening.
Go ahead.
Okay. That was Gary, by the way, everybody.
You mentioned just now something very interesting, that Rudolph Giuliani was supported by the people who, who, so
some of this Enterprise Corporation, that supported the bell curve.
The Enterprise Foundation, right, which was supported by a group that also supported the bell curve, one of its funders.
That's very interesting because one of the things that Giuliani, I think I heard one of those horrible sound bites, because I try not to look too, you know, I usually shudder and turn away when I see his face, so I don't get too much information directly, you know, from him. But
it's a psychic self-protection.
Stare. You know, his new makeover is really scary. Anyway, one of the things, the words that came out was that this thing that was going on with Dalio, one of the things he said was that that this is some type of a racial divide. Now, he's trying to play that card. It's not going to work this time because the whole city's together on this one.
So have you been coming out to any of the rallies?
I would like to. I was out of town,
Tuesday.
And I'm going to make it to a couple of them.
Now, Tuesday at 4:30 is the big
Tuesday
one.
Tuesday the 22nd.
I think that's going to be the big citywide one. It's at City Hall Tuesday the 20th. Monday, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. Monday the 22nd. At 4:30 p.m. Monday, February 22nd, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. City Hall.
Get out there. Let me give out the number for more information.
You think that Rudy will have his sharpshooters out that day on the roof there with the metal detector?
They always
He's
do.
He's always got his sharpshooters out.
Okay.
I want to give the number for more information.
And then may I make a couple more comments?
Okay, hang on. Let me just give this number while we're talking about it. 212-979-7878. Extension 3920. That's 212-979-7878. Extension 3920. That's Monday the 22nd, 4:30 City Hall. Let's get as many people out as possible.
Okay, I'd like to say one thing. I know the show is called Let Them Talk, and I just want to say a couple of things because I know Them was a science fiction movie about giant ants in the 50s. They made a couple of sounds, but I want to make just a couple more. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's something from them. They said that the elite... they mentioned that these cops out there who shot Dalio was from an elite squad. Mm-hmm. Something ringing in my mind. I'm trying to think what the other elite squads were. I don't know if they mentioned this on your show. There's Saddam Hussein's elite...
Republican Guard.
And then, of course, there were the stormtroopers in the Nazi era. So we have another elite guard here.
That's right. Yeah.
And they're the people who are moving into the Lower East Side now after taking out all the squatters. They're the elite, aren't they?
I know.
I have a question about this elite thing.
Yes.
If they shot 41 times in a small area and they're so elite, then why did they only hit him 19 times?
Because they're not elite.
Can't even shoot a gun.
It's sicker.
Drunk on power.
It's sicker than that because actually
there are these people who did this. They're beyond ill, and if they are convicted or sent up or anything, they might just be qualified to use insanity as their defense.
But they also look from the other side of this.
Oh, no.
They're probably terrified too, in a certain sense. I mean, they know the people hate them. They go into these communities. They're totally on edge. I mean, from their point of view, as screwed up as it all is, these people are very frightened.
Well, the demonstration.
These people are very frightened, and that makes it even more frightening.
Because there's no residency compliance.
Residency is really important.
And at the demonstration the other day, when it all broke out afterwards, the people were screaming murderers at the police.
And this went on
for a long, long time.
Yeah, well, one thing about this squad...
That's the community venting.
This crime, crime squad is not an elite.
They were shooting bullets. They were just saying words.
It's not an elite squad, actually. The officers get not real... they were, at some point, they got some extra training, but when Giuliani ordered the dramatic increase in the numbers of officers in this unit... they basically dropped all training, not even really extra training, but they at least had like a psychological profile. Basically, the commander of the unit would sit and talk with each person before they were hired into the unit, before they were brought into the unit, and they just dropped that to the wayside and didn't even do that. And they were just bringing in people. And this is interesting. You don't get any extra pay, and in fact, if you join this unit, it's taken off the regular like promotion schedule. In other words, if you take this unit, if you go in and join this unit, you will not get any extra credit for your career at all.
Tell
you that. The only reason you would join is because you want to have the freedom to roam the city
and to make arrests and to go and do your own thing. I believe it was.
And you get very little supervision. And
that's it.
There's a great movie called Prince of the City. Because this is nothing new. I mean, it goes back to the 70s. In Prince of the City, I mean, these guys were doing drug busts, were so on their own and had so little supervision. Towards the end of the movie, they're like going out and helping the junkies buy the dope. Mm-hmm. You right. know, from there, because they had so many informants, and they're working with so many informants and stuff that they wind up like facilitating all these informants.
Power
in the movie.
Corruption.
It's pretty amazing.
May I say one
corruption.
Thing?
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to, read beside a poem. It'll take about a minute.
Go for it.
And it's called Giuliani Time. First of all, one comment I'd like to make is that, you know, Giuliani, he uses his nickname Rudy. You notice how he took the Dolph out of it. Anyhow, here we go. Giuliani Time. I'm going to do it real quick. There's a seatbelt law in Rudy. Hello?
Yeah, go for it, hon.
1, 2, 3. There's a seatbelt law in Rudy's hot seat. He'll strap you in, this Neapolitan Nazi. Sit you down and make you crisp until you no longer hear his lisp. A squeegee man denied his water. Oh, it's a brave new world order. Don't try to pick it at Gracie's lawn. You'll meet Donna Hanover or Eva Braun. Drink the wine and eat the wafer. Tell Bratton pack. Now we are safer. Prepare the dungeon. Fetch the reamer. Giuliani time to plunge Abner Louimer. Cut relief and leave no pot to piddle in. Raise his own pay to afford Andrew's Ritalin. Improved life quality control freak. It's undercover strip club patrol week. Nationwide stats he'll have to edit. A drop in crime and take the credit. No more cash and no more token. Meanwhile, this Metro card is broken. That was bleeped. He may be ugly and he may be gangly. Don't get this little bastard angry. He's judge, executioner, and don't forget juror. New clothes for the emperor, El Duce, the Fuhrer.
All right. Thank you very much, caller.
All righty, then.
Thanks for calling.
Good night now.
Why are you so mean?
Why are you so mean?
What was it your mother didn't give you? Did she spank you when you were a baby?
Did she abuse you?
What did you mean?
Did she take your toys away?
Giuliani,
get your hands
Giuliani. Out of
your pockets. Protect you.
You're on the air.
Hello?
All praises due.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah. I love hearing from my followers, especially the nondescripts and the plebs. You understand? I just love it. It just makes me feel good. It lets me know that Monty's doing the right job.
Yeah.
And my brothers and my sisters and my John Browns and my Josephines out there, y'all do the right thing. When you see injustice being done, speak on it, because it's God's turn. And all righteous people, it's our turn.
All right, thank you.
That's a really good
keep on keeping on.
Right on.
And
daddy.
Walk on the right side
right
of the street.
Yes,
all
daddy.
Right.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Yes, daddy.
You're on the radio.
Hello? Bonnie's an asshole.
Aww.
That's right. That's right.
You're on the air.
Hello?
All right, let me turn the radio down, be a good listener.
Okay,
here we go.
Cool.
Yeah. Here we go. Just only two small things, please.
Okay, cool.
One is, yes, the internet is the way. It's one way, and I'm always looking for what the next one is going to be. And the second point, which
if you
is
have the promotion in the
is
internet.
Sloan?
Yeah, Anthony, right?
Sloan!
How you doing?
You have a former arts director now with a former program director.
All anyway, right. I can't hear you all very well because, of course, you're on the radio and I'm on the phone. But look, the other thing just about Pacifica, real simple, that one meeting, I think I sort of said it correctly. When you get people in positions of power, what happens is when they get in trouble, they revert to their own individual training. So unless they've really come through the Pacifica or alternative routes, and when they solve a problem, they'll go to, you know, they'll throw money at it, or they'll do something that, you know, that's corporate, or that's, like, say, this guy from Radio Marti, he'll do something, you know, that he's been trained to do. And that's the problem. You have to get people through the system that understands the system, so that when they come in power, they have an alternative for the system. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that.
There you go. Thanks, Anthony. What did you, your experience looking at this, what would you do? If you had the power and you had the money and the glory, how would you, if you had your druthers, what changes would you have made here?
Well, That's what I'm saying. The systemic is systemic. It's a problem. You have to identify the people that actually are going to be alternative. But I think the basic problem that I had, if I say I had a problem, but I didn't really have a problem because I set my own when I was going to leave and everything like that, was that people didn't respect, or most people don't respect where people are coming from. In other words, if you were duly promoted to whatever position, we assume that your credentials are correct and that you can prove that what you do is right. And if the people around you don't support that, you know, if they directly attack you, then, you know, then there really is no hope. You know, if you have no support, you're going to get cut off at knees. As simple as that.
I know that story, boy. I've been there. Thank you very much, Anthony.
All right,
bye.
Thanks for calling.
It's called Hi.
See you later, Anthony.
Bye. You're on the radio.
Hello.
Oh, thank you.
I'll
ask a couple things, Andrew Phillips, and see what he thinks about this. This public owns the airwaves. That line, you know, I hear that from time... You know, from the beginning of time, that phrase has been around, and yet, you know, that just doesn't seem to be supported anywhere.
Well, the law is pretty straightforward. I mean, the law that has to do with radio was set in the 1930s.
Just because he made a comment about the tape, I'm referring to if I tape something.
But do you know legally that you're not allowed, that the people are not allowed to own the airwaves according to laws that were passed in the 30s and in the 50s, basically at times when there were great upheavals in America and a time of great repression in America, they passed laws specifically designed to keep masses of people from having direct control of any broadcast medium. So the law specifically says...
So what's the question?
Yeah.
What's the question?
The question was about your saying, yeah. if you had taped, if you had made a copy of that tape you're talking about,
right.
If you just took it, you know, you're taking from the airwaves.
Right.
What I don't understand is how some people can, you know, some people can make a tape and then sell it if it's something that they're gonna copy it. But in this case, it's owned by... I mean, who owns that? In other words, how does even Pacifica own it? Because they didn't speak it. They didn't say it.
Exactly. You know? That's the point. You know who owns it? Nobody.
Mm-hmm. That's what I feel.
Okay.
You know,
I purposely brought that tape in. It's a funky tape.
Right.
I'm really glad we played it, and I purposely explained how I got it to make that point,
right.
Essentially.
You know,
it was recorded off the air
right.
and played back again on the air, and I bet someone else recorded that.
Right. That's exactly right.
And that's great. That's great. In fact, Pacifica should give all their tapes away.
Can I tell you, one of my struggles with on WBAI is that...
Get them all away.
Get them away, man. Burn money.
I record things on shortwave.
Sure, great.
Some of the stuff about the racist pastors, and I want to present them on WBAI in a program, and people tell me that the quality is sufferable, and I wouldn't be able to broadcast it, but it's the content. It's so important. Oh. I mean, the shortwave is a fantastic medium, unless people hear some of the things that are going on. This is what 90% of America hears.
People are tired, I think, of being dictated to by the manufacturers of certain hardware that play certain mediums like CDs and things like that. I don't mind the analog sound. I just want the information that poor people who can't afford all those CD burners and things
that. Yeah. I mean, David Barsamian has a Making Contact catalog of all kinds of tapes. I mean, I've sent him tapes from Pirate Radio for my show. You know, it's a part of the catalog, and you can pay it by like $10, and
That's right.
Sorry?
See, David's a great example. David Barsamian, who's originally from Boulder, Colorado, he's also a great critic of Pacifica, but in a very positive way, and in fact, did the most positive thing, set up his own tape distribution system, distributes his own program. It's a good program, good, strong information. And he's able to support his radio work doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, very close to Chomsky. I think that we're very afraid of copyright. I don't think we should be a Pacifica, because copyright largely has to do with, if you're going to make a lot of money from it, the lawyers are going to come after you. If you're not making any money, probably no one's going to make any noise, you know, actually. So I'd record as much as I could off WBI and go out and sell it, because WBI don't sell it.
Oh, my
That's
God.
What I'd be doing. That's what I'd be doing.
I don't sell it. No. I just, you know, I make tons of tapes.
Look, I say that in a facetious way. Let's get the information
I tell you this,
out.
That,
let's get it out.
Pretty soon, keep... Stay tuned, because Let Him Talk and Paul DiRienzo's 10 years of sound gathering will
Let's
start appearing
out.
On the internet.
That's right.
At very reasonable costs
and
to you, the listeners.
I'll tell you
something else, Paul.
Down the line, not right away, but, you know, as soon as I get my iMac and we get it all.
And you'll be linked to underhill.com, and you'll be able to get all of the investigations programs and the music and the this and the that.
And by the way, we got a webpage.
Shout out to rybread.com.
www.wbaifree.com. letemtalk, LETEMTALK. You can email me, Paul DiRienzo, at PDR@echonyc.com. And Miss Joan Marie Moosey at Miss Moosey, MissMoossy, @yahoo.com. And we have a phone number. For those who aren't on the internet, they can dial our voicemail number, 212-209-2955. 212-209-2955.
And let us know about anything coming up that we could announce for you. Because
hey,
yes.
The Pacifica annual report. Has anyone ever seen it? The $1 million that the BAI raised last
year? It's on the internet, pacifica.org. Check it out. Okay, we have to go. I'm sorry, we have to go. I want to just give, there's a few people online. Let's see if there's anybody who isn't a crank. Give them a real quick last minute of the show.
Bowie.
You're on the radio.
I just wanted to say, why was that police sergeant speaking at the people's rally when they're the ones that caused the hostility in us? Thank you very much. They shouldn't be there. When they have a meeting, the people are not there to voice their hostility and their opinions. Have a good night.
All right.
Thank you. Good point. You know, I remember once when after the Times Square Park riot and the Guardian Angels showed up at one of the big community meetings and they ran them out of the meeting onto the street. It was great to see the community in action. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Talk show host privilege. Okay? Andrew, what's
time.
The solution?
Okay.
Power.
Hey.
Finally, I got through after...
It's been a busy night.
Yes, I've been going on and off surfing the internet or trying to call in.
Hey, okay. Aaron, how are you?
We don't have much time, so
okay,
what's
listen.
Happening? You were at our party. You were at Joni's party the other day.
It was a nice party.
Oh,
had a good
thank
time.
You,
it was very nice.
Aaron was a invitee.
Listen, in regard to Rudy Giuliani, I have this great anti-Giuliani website. I like you all to check out.
Oh, the anti-Giuliani website.
Yeah, you know, it's got to do with Roto Rudy.
How do you say the address real quick? We have to move on.
HTTP www.pieman.org /rottenrudy rottenrudy.htm.
Rottenrudy.htm.
Think about Giuliani toilet paper.
Ooh, oh, nice.
Yeah, nice and comfy. Is it recycled?
Yippee!
Well, no.
Giuliani paper mache.
And listen, when I look up and check out the check out the background on it, it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. We will.
Right. Okay, right. I'll give it to you one more time, very quick.
Right.
http://www.pieman.org and /rottenrudy.htm. See y'all later.
See ya.
It's Aaron Kay, the master pie man.
You're on the radio.
Hello?
Oh, it's the cab driver. I'm an asshole. So
okay, I'll take your word for it. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Bill Clinton is no Caligula. I am Caligula Spartacus.
You're on the radio.
That's our man. Well, my dog, Diallo, rally.
Monroe!
Oh, Monroe made it through.
Yeah, right. My boss, well,
oh, were you there at the rally at...
I'm still alive opposing injustice.
Were you at the Bronx County Courthouse?
Yes, I was.
Did you stick around and see what happened?
Well, I was there till late. What do you mean, what happened? I was there...
When the people took the street.
Well, I saw them marching. Yeah, I saw that.
We got some of that sound early on.
But, I mean, the thing is that I thought Sonny Carson said down at Foley Square that we'd have... a rally in front of the UN, and I think it's very important because this has gotten international. And
Mrs. Diallo's what a woman, huh? She's
and
well
husband
spoken.
Too, and the husband too.
Yeah. Wow, they really picked the wrong person.
A lot of dignity.
We
picked the
we
wrong
should
people.
Get right? in front of the UN, not on the side street. You know what I mean? At 40
should get
the
inside
UN.
The UN.
Well, you're right, of course. Thanks, Andrew. That was a good point.
In respect to all this rallying going on and people taking the streets, I just wanted one word of caution. And when you leave a rally, depending on what time it is, always watch your people's backs and don't let them pick you off singly. Stay in your crew, you know, and then see what happens. Watch how they act. Pick on them then. It's the best time to pick on them, actually.
You're on the radio.
Monroe's an asshole.
Oops.
You're on the radio.
Hey, Paul. James Hibbler from Radio Bandung.
James,
how
you
doing?
All right. Great show tonight.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, it's been really nice. And right. Patty rocks. She's got a great show too.
All right, thanks, James.
I just want to say, don't believe the hype about Utrice Lead and Samori Marksman, Bernard and Amy. They're all a part of the whole.
Well, I think BAI is
say it like it is, baby.
All right, take care.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Well, we let him talk tonight on Let Him Talk. Thank you, Andrew Phillips.
My pleasure.
Thank you,
Paul Darienza.
Thank you,
Citizen One,
and
Tanya,
and
thank you, Lou Hill.
Miss Joan Marie Moosey and Sydney
Smith.
Soon to
be appearing.
March 4th, Education Alliance, East Broadway, ABC No Real Benefit.
Underhill.com.
Right, and Joan Moosey, who will be appearing.
There ain't nothing.
What? I'm sorry.
In Bad Reputation at PS122, Penny Arcade's Bad Reputation.
All right, we'll be talking a lot more about that. Thank you very much, guys.